So tonight, I thought what we could do is something a little bit different than for our time of focus on God's Word than what we've been doing on Wednesday nights. Just for tonight, just pause our study in James, and we're going to take the opportunity we have this holiday season just to meditate on the wonder of Christ's incarnation, which, when you study through Scripture, it is a moment that is so stunning and impossible according to human reason that even the angels worship in wonder over it. And so tonight I just want to walk through, and this is very simple, I just want to walk through seven reasons to wonder this Christmas, drawn from the incarnation. This is not deep or anything. These are seven things that I've been thinking about that I'm just trying to use to cultivate my own heart and mind in approach of the holiday. And I wanted to share that with you. So seven truths that I pray the Lord would use to naturally lead us into the worship of prayer. The seven reasons for you and I that I'm going to share tonight to worship and wonder this Christmas season is because the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, the creator became creature. The worshipped became a servant, the possessor became poor, and the invisible became visible. And those are seven reasons that should fill us with wonder and worship this season. And so I'm just going to slowly go through these tonight in hopes that they will help us all in having a wonder-filled worship for the rest of this month. So before we get started, let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have just to settle our hearts and minds around the truths of your word. And I thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have just to reflect on the glorious wonder of the incarnation and the coming of Christ to earth. Father, we just pray that you would help us to think about these things, to meditate on them. And I pray that just that spirit of wonder and worship would just infiltrate everything that we do this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first reason to worship and wonder this Christmas that I've been thinking about and wanted to share with you is because the eternal entered time. Jesus says in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am." Here in that verse, Jesus was declaring his divine eternality, that before Abraham ever existed, he was already existing in the eternal present, outside of time, as God himself. And so we have to remember, when we think about Christmas, that the one that was in that manger existed way before the manger, and before Abraham, before Mary, before the universe. For John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word," meaning that when time itself began, Jesus as God the Son already was in eternal existence. Micah 5:2 calls him the one whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days or from days of eternity. He is, as Revelation 1:8 declares, the Alpha and the Omega, who was and is to come. Jesus is the eternal God. And yet, here's the first wonder. Galatians 4:4 says, "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son." The one who invented time stepped into it. The one who stands above history entered history. Augustine, the early church father, captured the wonder of this moment well when he wrote, "He loved us so much that he, by whom the ages were made, was made in time for us. And in this world, he, who was older than the world itself in his eternity, was made younger than all his servants in his humanity." So Christmas is not the beginning of Christ, of God the Son. It is the physical coming of the eternal God into the constraints of time. The eternal one, think about this, felt what it was like to wait, to grow, to experience a before, a during, and an after, just like us. And that is a reason to worship and wonder this season, knowing that the eternal entered time to redeem those of us who live in it. And if that was not enough, the second truth takes us a little bit deeper. Not only did the eternal enter time, but the second reason to worship and wonder is because the infinite became an infant. And I'm just skipping on top of these truths tonight, by the way. But the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called," one of his names, "is Mighty God." I want you to think about that. The mighty, infinite, eternal, unending God became a single, solitary, microscopic, fertilized cell. That is insane when you think about it. And then he became two, and then three, and then four, and he had a microscopic, infinite heartbeat. He grew in silence and in the darkness of the womb, became a baby. He was born, and the infinite God was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. The one whose presence fills heaven and earth itself, Jeremiah 23, 24 says, could now be seen fitting within the narrow confines of a manger. As Luke 2:7 says simply, she gave birth to her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. That is a wonder that should cause us to worship. Behind that simplicity is a miracle that is so profound you can hardly find words for it. Thomas Watson tried in his book, The Body of Divinity, when he wrote, "What a wonder that the Ancient of Days should be born, that he who thunders in the heavens should cry in the cradle, and that he who rules the stars should receive comfort from a mother." God the Son did not come to earth as a seasoned warrior, as a full-grown king in power or might. He became a human down to the most vulnerable point of human existence. And he arrived in the smallest and the weakest and the neediest of states. The infinite became an infant. That is something to ponder and a reason to worship and wonder this season. Because the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant. Third, the all-sufficient became dependent. John 1 verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh." That is amazing. See, God is self-existing and self-sustaining. He has the great I Am, as the Old Testament teaches. Acts 17:25 says that he is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. And yet in Bethlehem, the one who needed nothing from anyone received everything he needed from his mother. He needed to be fed. He needed to be carried. He needed to be swaddled and kept warm. We read the stories further. He needed to be protected by Joseph from Herod. He needed to learn to walk and to speak and to work. And he needed his parents. Luke 2:51 tells us he was submissive to Mary and Joseph, recognizing their role in his life. So think about that. The Son, the great I Am, the all-sufficient, truly independent one, now in his humanity became dependent on ordinary earthly parents. Martin Luther tried to express this truth when he said, "Mary fed God, cared for God, rocked God to sleep, prepared food and broth for him." That's a wonder to think about. And it is a reason to worship in awe this season. Because the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, and fourth, the Creator became a creation. Hebrews 2:17 says he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. I want you to think about this, that the one who knelt in Eden to shape Adam from the dust of the earth took on that very same form of dust himself. The one who designed the human brain had his own brain develop in stages. The one who formed mouths and tongues and lungs, he learned to speak and breathe like as a human child. As Hebrews 2 verse 14 says, he took on flesh and blood. The author, and I know this is a terrible analogy, but it is also true. The author entered his own story. God the Son bridged the infinite divide between creator and creation. He did the absolutely impossible thing so that he could bring us back to God. As one church father put it, that which Christ did not assume cannot be healed, and therefore Christ became like us in every respect. He took on the fullness of human nature, body, mind, emotions, weakness, temptation, yet without sin, in order to redeem every part of human nature. He did not stand far off. He drew near. The Creator became a creation without ceasing at any one point to be God himself. And that is a reason to worship and wonder this Christmas. Because the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, the Creator became a creation. And he did all of this for a reason, which is the fifth reason to worship with wonder, and that is that the worshipped became a servant. Hebrews 1:6, when speaking of Christ, says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And that's exactly what all heaven looked like before the incarnation. So I want you to picture that. Innumerable angels, beyond count, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night, as the Son sat radiant on the divine throne in divine glory, receiving perfect adoration and worship from all in heaven. Perfect worship by those who knew by sight the glory of the Son. And now, picture Bethlehem. It was a quiet night, an average home. A newborn baby that was laid in a feeding trough, and apart from some shepherds, no one even knew that he was there. As Philippians 2:7-8 describes, God the Son took upon the form of a servant when he was born in the likeness of men. He sought no glory for himself. He had come for a reason. He wasn't seeking adoration. He wasn't receiving any worship. He wasn't being exalted to some throne. He's just lying in a manger, a place where food is given to sheep to be consumed. And why is that? It's because, as Matthew 20:28 says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He who was worshipped by holy angels became a servant for sinners. And that's a reason to wonder in awe and worship. As Hebrews 10 verse 5 says, "Consequently, when Christ came into this world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me.'" Why? Think about it. It's because by that body, he would live and die and be the final sacrifice. He who was the object of angels' worship was made, as Hebrews 2:9 says, made for a little while a little lower than the angels. The worshipped became a servant. And so the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, the creator became a creation, the worship became a servant. The sixth reason that I was thinking about is a reason to worship with wonder this Christmas is because the possessor became poor. Psalms 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all those who dwell therein." Everything belongs to him. Every mountain, every star, every city, every person, every atom in existence. And yet Jesus said of himself in Matthew 8, verse 20, that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He, who is the rightful king and possessor of all creation, came to this world and spent, if you really study it, his entire earthly life practically borrowing everything. A borrowed manger, borrowed home, borrowed boat, borrowed donkey, a borrowed upper room, and even a borrowed tomb. 2 Corinthians 8:9 explains it beautifully, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. That is a wonder. Christ gave up everything so that we might gain everything. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God, and the possessor of heaven and earth stooped to the lowest position before men so that we could be exalted into the highest position before God." That is a wonder. And that's what this is the reason to worship Christ this season. And all of this climaxes in the seventh reason to worship and wonder this Christmas season. And that's not only because of that the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, the creator became a creation, the worship became a servant, and the possessor became poor. But the final reason why we ought to worship in wonder this season is because the invisible became visible. The God whom no one has ever seen nor can see became the God-man so that all might see. John 1, verse 14 and 18 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." 4, verse 18, "No one has ever seen God. God the Son, who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known." That, I think, has got to be one of the greatest wonders of the incarnation. That we can truly know God in truth because in Christ Jesus we have seen Him in His glory. The invisible became visible for us. The untouchable became touchable. And the unapproachable became approachable. And we can now know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and know Him in truth. As Colossians 1 verse 15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God." Hebrews 1 3 says, "He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature." And as 1 John 1 1 through 2 glories in, John the Apostle writes, "We have seen and we have touched with our hands the Word of life." Jesus is the invisible God made visible. And this is why Jesus can say in John 14, verse 9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." And so through the incarnation, God has made Himself knowable, not distantly, not abstractly, but personally and intimately and truly in Jesus. In seeing Him, we see God. In hearing Him, we hear God. In following Him, we follow God. And in worshiping Him, we worship God. And that's what I wanted to take time tonight to help us do, just to think through seven reasons to worship and wonder this Christmas. Again, nothing deep, but seven things that hopefully, I mean, they are very deep, but I mean, I didn't give it deep. Seven things to start you off in a journey of worship this season as we approach Christmas. Just to remember the truths that the eternal entered time, the infinite became an infant, the all-sufficient became dependent, the creator became a creation, the worship became a servant, the possessor became poor, and the invisible God became visible. And He did it all for His glory and for us. And that's not just miraculous. I think that's the greatest miracle of all time. So we are called, in light of these truths and so much more, to worship and wonder over Jesus because of it. And I think we can do that tonight when we break up into our times of prayer. So that's what I wanted to share tonight.